to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities,
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. I'm your host for the day, Galwa Chol, and you are listening to Bob Marley. No Woman, No Cry. I'm playing this song for a reason.
Bottom.
Yes, enjoy the king of reggae, Bob Marley. Everything is going to be all right. This is Saturday, the 10th of March, 2018. And everything is going to be all right. Yes, that's Bob Marley, No Woman, No Cry. And I played this music for a reason, because we are in a celebration mood. We have just celebrated a Women's International Day. First of all, if you have just turned in, you are listening to Resettler Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And I'm your host for the day, Galuak Shol. And I will be the one carrying you for the rest of this hour. This show is brought to you live. First of all, I would say Mubarak Yom El Mara El Alami. This is a way of Sudanese saying happy Women's International Day in South Sudanese Arabic. So we just concluded a Women's International Day. We celebrated it in different ways, in different fashions, in different styles, and in different environments. This is a day where we, like Bob Marley has put it, you know, no woman, no cry. So I think this is a best way to honor the woman. I was thinking about my mom when I was listening to the song and meditation. I grew up in a war, and everything, when I was in panicking, then mom would say, no, you will be fine. And then I trust her, and then I trust that I would be fine. So I think Bob Marley's song, No Woman, No Cry, has got a meaning to me personally. Well, we will be discussing one topic today. I made a research on this topic, and the reason why I'm talking about it is because something has happened. The topic that we're going to discuss today, or that we will be talking about today, or that I'm going to bring to you today, is a culture shock. So culture shock, if you are not the one who has traveled a lot, you might not know fully what it means, but if you are someone who comes from somewhere, and whether you are a Kiwi or a settled person who has been traveling, so you will know what it means. And it is very important to talk about this topic today because we have received, ARCC has received a shocking news from Christchurch that one of our community member committed suicide by hanging, and is from the Somali community in Christchurch. So it was last week when he committed suicide. He's a young man at the age of 30, and nobody knew behind what made him to commit suicide. And so, and he's not the person who, he's not the only person who committed suicide in the period of 1 year. He's the third person to commit suicide from the Somali community. So it's like three people already, plus him, committed suicide for the related thing. It's all about stress and depression and isolation and all of those. So I think it comes down to culture shock, and this is why we want to talk about the culture shock today. ARCC is sending condolences to the Somali community in Auckland and in Christchurch. This is a very difficult moment when you lost a member. If you lose a member in this difficult situation, it's not all right. And we, as a community and as organization, we are with the Somali community in this difficult time for losing a very important member of the community. So, where do I base my findings? So I went to Wikipedia and tried to find out, you know, the implications behind the culture shock. So when I say culture shock, I reflect I made a very good reflection on the word itself because I went through it. And I define myself in it when I go through it, reading it, or understanding it, or try to comprehend the effects and the impact and all the things surrounding the word itself. So, in my finding, culture shock is an experience. That's the way I should put it, and that's the way Wikipedia has already put it. So it's just an experience. So it's an experience a person may have when one moves to a cultural environment which is different from one's own. Suppose you are in New Zealand and you move to the United States, or you move to Asia, let's say to Nepal, so that would be a different culture. Or you move from Guatemala and come to, let's say New Zealand. So it would be a totally different culture. So it is also the personal disorientation a person may feel when experiencing an unfairly way of life due to immigration or a visit to a new country. Yep, just like that. A move between social environment and a simple transition to another type of life. One of the most common causes of culture shock involves individuals in a foreign environment. So everything looks new to you. You don't understand it. You don't even know how things work. That's part of it. And that's the beginning of it. So one of the common causes, it has a cost. It has a cost. So one of the common causes of culture shock involves individuals in a foreign environment. Culture shock can be as stages, as phases. It has stage one, stage two, stage three, and stage four. So it has four stages. And these are the four stages that we will be talking about. So what are those stages? We have stage one, which is honeymoon stage. We call it honeymoon stage. Why is it called honeymoon stage? We will be talking about it later. And we have stage two. Stage two, we call it frustration stage or negotiation stage. And this is stage 2 and stage 3 adjustment stage. We call it phase 3 adjustment stage, and then we have the last stage, which is acceptance stage or adaptation stage. So all these four stages, they vary among themselves, and they are different from one stage to the other. And now I will play you a music a little bit, but we will come back to it. And when we come back, then we will find out from these four stages what stage is the most difficult stage. Four of them, four stages: the honeymoon stage, frustration stage, or negotiation stage, adjustment stage, which is the third stage, and the last stage, which is acceptance stage or adaptation stage. So what are they? What are those stages? And then we will come through all these four stages one by one, trying to understand what are all those stages. And they are different. It is very important to know. And one of the stages is the most difficult stages among the four. And so we will try to know later when we come back what is the most difficult stage among these four stages, which is all different in the way, you know, in the way you perceive them or in the way you experience them. And these are the things that we will be talking about when I play to you Sit a Loss by Kenzo, by Eddie Kenzo. Eddie Kenzo is a Ugandan artist, and is talking about the ghetto boys, you know, in Uganda, these talented boys in the ghetto, and trying to gather them, and, you know, they compose a song together. It's a very good song. I don't know what it means, but, you know, it's a very good song, and I will play to you and enjoy.
Sana. zina 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 mahu zina yele lele yele lele
Bawa.
On danse mon coupé décalé, oh, Beno.
Sing it.
Africa, aïe, moi je t'aime. L'amour est, aïe, moi j'adore.
Come on.
Welcome back. If you have just joined us, you have been listening to Resonant Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6, and I'm your host for the day, Galwaxul. And the artist that has just that I have just played is Sergey Baynard. Is from Ivory Coast. He's singing a good song, but I don't know what it means, but I like that song. I always play it when I go to work. Sometimes I play it at work when I'm on my break. It's a very good song. I like it. Yeah, before we go to a break, we discussed about having the topic today about the culture shock. If you have just joined us, I already made a breaking news before that we lost a community member in the Somali community in a Christchurch in a manner that has something to do with the way of life or the lifestyle or the complications around isolation and the culture shock. And that's why it is very important to talk about the culture shock. And I already made a background of what the culture shock is. And I think this is a very good topic that we will talk about it today. I'm the only one in the studio. My colleagues are not here today, but we will go through this and we will discuss each stage, because before we went to the break, I said the culture shock has four stages. It's stage one, it's stage two, it's stage three, and it's stage four. It's stage one, honeymoon stage, and it's stage two, frustration stage or negotiation stage. And stage three is adjustment stage. And the last stage is acceptance stage or adaptation stage. And all these stages are different from one stage to the other. All four of them are different. But these are the different experiences, because the word itself, the word culture shock, is experience. The experience that you may have when you move from one set of a culture to a different set of a culture. And so along the way, or when at the receiving end, that's where the difficulties come in. Okay, let's talk about the culture, the first stage. Let's go to the first stage, honeymoon stage. My research suggests that honeymoon stage is a stage where you have... this is a stage where there are differences between the old culture and the new culture. So the difference between your culture and the culture that you are in that country, in your new country. Let's say for those who moved to New Zealand, so for me, I came originally from South Sudan, and when I came here, the culture here does not match the culture I come from. So this is a stage one right away. So yeah, the things definitely clash, and that's what it is. So this is the stage where you see food is different, the language itself is different, or you may not understand at all what the people are saying. And this is the stage one. You cannot even express yourself in that language. I remember some people, when they get into, let's say in my case, when I came to Ethiopia, I could not speak Amharic, and we went to the restaurant and we could not identify what we wanted from the menu. And we were three of us. The waiter asked us if we have anything to order, and we say, yeah, we need to order something. So the yeah part, like, you know, pointing to something, and we could not even know what we were pointing at, because all the menus were written in Amharic. So that was the honeymoon stage. And we could not even communicate with the guy. So what the guy decided was to call the manager, and the manager came and talked to us, because the only language we knew back then was Arabic, and the Ethiopians do not speak Arabic. So there was a kind of a breakdown point where we could not even communicate. So the manager was like, okay, come on, follow me, using the gestures. And then we followed him. He led us to the kitchen, and to the kitchen there are a lot of food there. And then he say, "Yeah, welcome, come and choose." Then we point, "We need this, we need that, I need this, I need that." And yeah, that's how we got out of that, and by pointing to the food we want, and yeah, that's it. So that's a honeymoon. That's a honeymoon stage where there's a language barrier. You don't understand how things, how things work. And, yeah, it's very slow process. And that's the stage one, how people greet. In some cultures, you don't shake hands. And I know with some cultures that are affiliated with religion, you don't have to shake hands with a woman if you are a man. And this is, if it is your first time to see that, that's a culture shock. That's a culture shock if it is your first time to see it. Yeah. So this is the familiar stage of the culture shock. Everybody faces it, even those who are travelers, who travel a lot. They experience that. If you come from an English-speaking country and then you go to a different country where you cannot speak, where English is not the language of instructions. Let's say if you get from Nairobi to Dar es Salaam, it would not be a big deal, because there's a common language where Kenya and Tanzania speak. They speak Swahili, but in Kenya it's a mix. It's Swahili and English. But if you go to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, it's still you will be communicating with people in Swahili. So you don't have to have a big problem in terms of language, but you might have a problem with other things like food. Anything attached to that and how people behave there. So, yeah, that's what it is. And maybe if you are from New Zealand, let's say you have gone to Hong Kong. So in Hong Kong would be a different culture there. So food may be different, and the ways of how people talk will be different. And the way people gesture also will be different. So this is part of that stage. So that's a stage one. So let's come to stage two. Stage one, honeymoon stage. That's what we have just talked about. Let's come to stage two. Stage two, I would say, and this is what the researchers say too. So stage two is a breaking point. This is the most difficult stage. Out of all these four stages, stage two, which is frustration stage or negotiation stage, is the most difficult stage. Negotiation stage, frustration. This is, even the word itself, frustration or negotiation stage. This is the most difficult thing, because you are frustrated. You cannot get it. And this is where the problem is. This is where the problem is. Some people cannot handle this stage, and then they decide to take their own life, like the young man I have just mentioned, who have decided to take his own life. I think that's the stage two. Trying to negotiate whether you will understand the problem. But after some time, usually around 3 months, this is not even 3 months, it's more than that. It takes long, depending on the individual capability. The difference, it becomes apparent that it may create anxiety. Yeah, That's what we talk about, anxiety. And when you get to the stage of anxiety, so now you are exiting, taking a different route. Excitement may eventually give way to unpleasant feeling of frustration and hunger. And hunger, as one continues to experience unfavorable events that may be perceived as strange and offensive to one's culture, because whatever you see there, you see it as offensive to your own culture. Everything that you see there is totally different from you, from where you come from. You know, some cultures I know, some cultures is like if an elderly person is talking to you, you're supposed not to talk back. You listen, even if that person is wrong, because of that respect. You respect the older person. But in some culture, you talk back to the older person. And to you, might be a shock to you where you come from, coming from the culture where you don't talk back to the old person. This is a disrespect to you. But in that in that environment, it's very common thing to them that you can talk back to the old person. So you cannot take it. Suppose you are an old person and you come from where old people are not talked back to. You can't handle it. You can't take it. And this is also, like I say before, this is a breaking point, and this is a stage where you try to understand things and how things work and the gestures and the signs and the language set, and everything becomes so offensive to you completely. And this is a stage where you cannot even have a sleep. So insomnia will kick in. Insomnia, absence of sleeping. So insomnia will kick in because your brain is disturbed. You cannot comprehend the culture that you have just come to, you know. So now it's like you are feeling sorry. I wish I have remained in my own culture, and this is something that you cannot take completely. So anything becomes different to you, language barriers and differences in public hygiene, traffic, let's say, safety, anything, food, accessibility, quality. This may heighten the sense of disconnection from the surroundings. So you get disconnected because of the things that you see, and the way you see them are totally different from where you come from. And this is where the problem starts. You know, some people start to think, I cannot handle this, it's too much. What I'm going to say is, nothing is too much. The way you deal with this, when it comes to you, you see it as too much, but you come down, make an adjustment to yourself, you know. Try to do something that makes you happy. Don't try to just exit completely and do a manner of things that those who commit suicide do, because they are disconnected from their cultures by a different set of culture. You have to do something that would change your mind. While being transferred into a different environment puts special pressure on communication skills, there are practical difficulties to overcome. You see, it's all about trying to make a change in the way you communicate with people, in the way you interact with people. So in some people, they come to a different culture today, and then tomorrow they will get to it, even if they don't speak the language. So they will pick it up. But some people, it takes years to adjust to that culture. So this is where the problem is. Even the body language sometimes is a part of the problem that might cause problems. So this is part of negotiation stage, which is a frustration stage. Anything can frustrate you. Even the conversion of tune, even the linguistic nuances and the custom and the way people behave too, you know, their behavior. You might get into people's lives in a while, in a short while, and then you will be like finding out that these are the false friends. These are not good friends. So you will be like, oh, this is how these people behave. No, the thing is, try to change when things don't play right with you. Don't just say, "Ah, this is too much. I cannot handle it. This is too much for me." There's nothing called too much. It's about you adjusting to that life. That's what it is. And this is a point being missed by a lot of people. And then they say, I cannot handle it. I cannot make it. Yeah, so that's not right. That's not what it is. So, let me play to you a hip-hop song from one of the Burmese songs, and then we will come back and talk about the second, the third, and the fourth stage. The artist is from Myanmar, previously called Burma, and is singing about a beautiful girl. You are my only, that you are in my head. Mukang Kimoga, Nanta Trigacha, Mwala Lizala, Tweta Malila, Yedamia Sari, Yedamia Kabari, Lai Lomami Night, Aungi Yamama Twe, Choto Pungle, Yomia Lomle, Wawin Neta.
Yo,
Welcome back. Welcome to the Rosetta Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM. You have been listening to the artist. The artist's name is Seka Manala and King Kong, dancing Maria, dancing. This is Rosetta Radio, brought to you by ARCC once again. We have been talking about the culture shock, and culture shock is one of the big issues here in the resettlement community here in Auckland, not only in Auckland but all over New Zealand at Hora. And what is happening is when you come to a new environment, an environment where you were not born, where you were not raised, so you come across a lot of issues, a lot of barriers, language barrier, employment barrier, simple things like food and the way how people deal with you becomes different. And when things become different to you, so that's where the problems start. And that eventually leads to something bigger than that. And for some people, they cannot take it, and so they decide to take their own life. I announced it earlier that we have lost one community member from the Somali community in Christchurch for something that relates to culture shock. And he is the third person we lost so far from the Somali community, apart from the ones we lost in other communities. So we have a lot of issues in the resettlement sector that needs to be that need to be addressed. And this is a very important day today. That's why I say it is important to talk about the culture shock, what brought all this. And with the definition, we already talk about it. If you have just joined us, we already defined what the culture shock is. It is about experience. It could be good or bad, you know, both ways. There's no one way to it, but both ways. It's experience, how people in different environment find themselves caught up by different way of life or different culture in the country of Aust, the country that's hosting you. And for some, people don't take it. So that's the definition behind the culture shock. And the culture shock itself has four stages. It has four phases. There's phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. Stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four. And through the discussion we already made, we concluded that stage two is the worst stage, the most difficult one, which is frustration. Okay, if you just join us in, let me mention them to you, the four stages, stage one, stage two, stage three. So stage one, honeymoon stage. Stage two, frustration stage or negotiation stage, where you negotiate your whole culture with a new one. Stage three, adjustment stage, and stage four, acceptance stage or adaptation stage. And we discussed the first two, and now we will be talking about the last two. And we will do it quickly because the show is coming to an end. Stage three, adjustment stage. This is an area, this is a stage where you try to be more familiar with the culture, with the people, with the language, with food, with the environment itself. And this is where you try to negotiate your experience, you know, from old one to the new one. Try to find a common ground where you can survive. And this is very good. You can even tell from the title. I mean, from the name itself, adjustment stage. So you adjust yourself to that life. Not necessarily that you don't have problems according to that culture, but at least you find yourself settling. You know, you are not like the person who comes, who have just come and experience all those. So you find yourself settling in that culture. And then the last stage is acceptance stage or adaptation stage. This is where this is where you fully adapt to that stage, to that culture. You fully, you are comfortable, and you are well settled, and you learn their culture. Maybe you speak the language. Maybe you adapt yourself to the environment well, and you don't have any problem at all. So you have adapted to that environment. So culturally, you're good. So this is the last stage where you become part of that society. So you're fully aware of what is happening. And there's a flip side of all these cultures. So there's a reverse culture. So you come to New Zealand, all your life here, so you become a New Zealander. So the culture has, you have changed into a New Zealand culture. But when you go back to where you come from, so you act different. So this is the reverse side of it, and it's called reverse culture shock. And reverse culture shock happens to a lot of people. It happens to me too when I returned to my country of origin 3 years ago, and everything totally was different. A lot of small things disappoint me. The thing that I used to know, I thought they changed, but they have not changed. So, you know, it's both ways. There's a culture shock, there's a reverse culture shock. So it works both ways. So something manageable. It just take it slow. Don't make it like too much information in your brain. So just slow down and try to understand it. Don't make it like too much, and then it will overwhelm you. That when it overwhelms you, that's when it is not good on you physically and you emotionally and mentally can affect you. So this is how I bring it to you today, and so I thought it's a very important topic to discuss because for the things that are going on in the community. So now it comes to the end of our program, and I will come back next time. Next Saturday, I may bring a guest with me, but if not, I will be back here again on Saturday. So I leave you with Kofi Olomide. Enjoy.
Vérité et un escalier pays commis.